weeks ago, a presentation was made to the county council about super green options and super green criteria. And we emphasize that this is a project in the works. It's not cast in stone. And it was requested at that time that we place it on the agenda for today. I don't have much in the way of additional information, except I do have a handout that was completed by the Department of Natural Resources, another draft of the criteria. And one of the things that I think is helpful in this particular draft is the first part of it kind of gives you a general description of the program, and then the latter part lists all the proposed criteria. Again, this is still a draft. The DENREC is scheduling another working group meeting, I believe it's October 30th, to try to pull more information together. So I don't have a lot more to add to what we discussed about.
Wait, this is the actual ordinance?
No.
This is the state plan for the criteria to be used for the project. And what we talked about last week is, you know, try this out on a pilot basis.
Right.
Before we get into any ordinances, because we know there's going to be a number of, we're going to run into hitches. It's a little bit complicated, and it's going to take some working through to determine how to be sure we get what we want. We also, a couple weeks ago, we talked about several other levels, and I have that handout if you'd like to look at that. But
I've got it already.
You've got, yeah. So I don't know if there's any discussion at this time.
So this supersedes the other version?
Yes, this is the most recent draft, and Ms. Leanne Wallen from the Department of Natural Resources is here, and this was emailed, I think, Thursday or Friday last week, so to the members of the committee for information, and the committee will be meeting again the end of on the 30th, I believe, to review this and make comments and changes, whatever. So still in draft form at this time.
Leanne, you got anything else to say? Yeah. Sure. As long as you don't badmouth us, you can talk all you want. Okay?
No, I was so excited about coming down here to my first Sussex County Council meeting. I left my glasses, my watch, and my super green criteria on my kitchen counter. But anyway.
Can you see?
No. I just wanted to, this is the version that we're going to go forward with the pilot project on. And really, as I told Mr. Dukes earlier, what we're really looking for is just kind of a hand-in-hand cooperation with Sussex County and the state on taking a project or a couple of projects through the whole process, the Sussex County process and the state process, to see if these, you know, criteria and what Secretary Hughes wants to accomplish, which is, you know, approvals in 3 months, is even feasible. And we might start getting into some of these criteria and saying, oh, that's just not going to work. But this is the version that we're going to move forward with the pilot project on. And we're going to talk about that at our meeting, our super green team meeting next week. But I also wanted to some combination of Mr. Baker, Mr. Godwin, Mr. Kautz, and Mr. Lank have been at all of our meetings and really participating hands-on, so we appreciate that. And that's all I have to say.
Any question? Mr. Duke?
No, I'm fine. No?
Mr. Rogers?
Nope.
Okay. Jordan? I guess we'll just wait until the dust settles up there, huh? And on that, okay. That's cool. Right, thank you, man.
And the next item is a discussion and possible introduction of a proposed ordinance regarding superior design. And I'll go ahead and hand out copies. This is one of the ordinances that is recommended in our land use plan. And just to highlight some of the areas in the proposed ordinance. What it will do is further define superior design, which is a requirement for cluster subdivision. So it provides more support for Planning and Zoning Commission and the County Council to determine whether or not an applicant is providing a superior design. What it suggests per the ordinance in Section 3A is that they meet various criteria. The homes shall be clustered on the most environmentally suitable portions of the tract of the property. And number two, the applicant must submit a yield plan that would show how many units would be allowed if it was a conventional development versus a cluster development. And then in Section C, the maximum number of units would be limited to no greater than the number that would be determined on the yield plan for a conventional development, except that if they have applied for the density bonus calculation and they are part of that program, they would be allowed those additional units also, and that's already in place. The open space that is required, it is suggested in this proposed ordinance that various criteria be met for the open space. Of course, it must meet the official definition of open space as per the county code. It would be designed to benefit the residents. 40% of the required open space would be located on one contiguous tract of land, so it would be together. If the cluster development is adjacent to a park, farmland, or undeveloped property, then at least 40% of the open space must be next to that park, farmland, or undeveloped property. If the open space, within the open space, there shall be a pedestrian trail, which would be interconnected to adjacent trails if there are any adjacent trails. And then in Section 4, a minimum 25-foot permanent setback would be maintained around outer boundaries of wetlands and recreational ponds, except where they are state tidal waters or tidal wetlands, where we already require a 50-foot buffer. And then Section 5, natural drainage flows should be maintained to the greatest extent possible. Stormwater ponds would be designed to resemble natural ponds. Number 6, removal of healthy trees would be limited to the greatest extent possible. Number 7, highly scenic views would be preserved to the greatest extent possible. And then finally, number 8, the cluster development would be devised in a sequence and a process, and the applicant must demonstrate that they went through this process so that they first would identify lands to be preserved, then locate home sites, then locate roads and trails, and then finally locate lot lines. And then last, number 9, sidewalks would be required on one side of each street. This is based on our land use consultant recommendation, and Mr. Griffin put together the ordinance with Mr. Lank, and this was distributed several weeks ago on October 10th to the County Council, right. And we did make several minor changes I just went over, and that from what you got a week ago, and that is in number 2C, where we allowed the provision for the density proffer in determining the number of units. That wasn't in there before. It was something that we caught as we went through it. And then number 4, we made an allowance for the current county requirement of 50-foot setbacks, where we didn't have that in here before. So those were the only two. The only two changes we've made since the version was sent to you.
Right. Questions?
You want to start with me?
Yep.
Okay. sounds like some good things in here, but my concern sometimes is who's determining these issues. It's, for instance, like where it says your most valuable and or most environmentally sensitive area you wanted to stay out of, and you know, whatever. Are we making that determination? Or are we going to, or by the time it gets to us, these plans have already been drawn somewhere before it gets to us. Some of these determinations should be made by somebody other than us, because we don't have the expertise to determine a lot of this stuff. So is our staff going to be involved early on?
Lars,
somebody want to
talk? Staff and the commission.
Yes, yeah.
So when the guy is proposing his plan, when, like, number one, Lawrence, it says homes will be clustered in most environmentally suitable portions of the tract. Who will determine what is the most environmentally suitable? Will that be the developer?
The way the ordinance is written, the reasonable judgment of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Right.
Well, they have to review what the developer submits, then the commission will have to determine if they feel it's appropriate.
Okay, well, will our staff have that expertise to be able to go out and determine that, or should we rely on somebody's got to have some kind of expertise on being able to determine what's more, you know, more environmentally suitable or not? And I don't know, do we have anybody on our staff that can handle this, or will we take, say, reports from DNRAC and stuff and incorporate it?
A project that would have to go through the tax process, for one.
Right. Okay.
In most cases, if it's a cluster development, it's going to be a substantial size. It's going to be exceeding lots. It's going to probably have to go through the plus process also.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have the expertise of all the agencies and their comments, hopefully, to help the commission in rendering that decision and whether it's reasonable and correct.
Okay, like just on number six, I mean, it's removable of healthy, mature trees shall be limited. I mean, is somebody going to go out and determine if they've actually limited the removal of trees?
We have had some problems in the where they go into clear-cut projects. And,
right.
And we've had projects where we've had to go in, where they're going to have to go in and replant some of those areas that they already disturbed.
Right. Well, wouldn't it be better to catch it up front? I mean, is there anybody catching this up front? That's what I'm trying to find out.
It would have to be caught up front.
And it says
one of the regulations just passed whereby, or in one of the policies just passed by the commission, is that when you're placing a silt fence, for example, and it's at the 50-foot buffer, before they would put it at the wetland line rather than in the buffer, and they go in and clear cut the buffer. And now we're requiring that the silt fence be placed at the outer boundary of the buffer. So that'll help resolve that issue.
One quick example. Yeah, no, it just sounds good. I'm just wondering, is do we have the skill level to determine if the developer submits something, do we have the skill level to know if it's right or wrong?
Well, again, we'd have to base it on some of the expertise from some other agency that actually participate in our process.
Isn't that part of the plus process?
The plus process in most cases, if they're larger projects, but the TAC process also, which includes the same agency.
But many of these agencies, Lawrence, tell me how many times these agencies actually visit the site.
We may have to ask for more participation. Some of our regulations, the way they're written now, include approval from the state forester, for example. That would be a good example in the tree. Our regulation already referenced state forester.
Right.
Right, but I'm just hoping they get in the process early enough so that by the time the plan gets to us, that's all been ironed out. That we're not sitting here trying to determine if this other area is more environmentally suitable because somebody in the audience who's a neighbor comes in and says, "Well, that's a certain unique feature," and somehow we've all sat back and waited to the last minute. So
it's an important time to get that information from the agency. That's preliminary stage.
Right.
So we have it before anything takes place on site.
Okay. Is there anything in here that makes sure that happens that way? Because it sounds good. Now, is it going to happen that way? That's what I'm just trying to figure out. Is there any kind of guarantee we're going to see that kind of process?
Well, we are making changes to our code enforcement, and I think that will help with this process. I mean, we've tried to
cross-training
and whatnot.
It's good, Dave, that we get to all these things in our land use plan, sites, all this stuff, but then nothing ever happens with it. We still clear cut, we still knock all this down, and nothing happens.
You've only had one case.
One case?
One case.
Of clear cutting?
Well, no, they're allowed to clear cut.
Right.
Right. But I said we've only had one case that has really been
extreme.
Extremely bad.
when you clear cut, you clear cut. There's not extreme clear cutting and less extreme. It's all clear cutting.
Okay.
All right, whatever.
Okay.
That's good. Now, I'm just saying, so right now we don't have anything really other than hopefully we'll catch something in the preliminary.
Well, if you read number 8, where you identify land that should be preserved,
right.
It says first areas most worthy of preservation shall be mapped, including wetland, wooded areas, waterways, other water bodies,
right.
Floodplain areas, poor drainage, natural drainage areas. That would have to be determined at the preliminary stage.
Okay, but the applicant determines those. Is there anybody going
to... It would have to be verified through agencies.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find.
Plus.
Okay, is there a step in there that somebody will verify this?
Plus.
Say yes.
No,
yes.
It's done after. This is all done...
That would be done at preliminary stage.
Okay. Right. All right.
Say yes.
Mr. Phillips, any questions?
It says highly scenic views that can be seen from within or... from the outside of the track should be preserved. Highly scenic views seems to be a subjective term. How's that determined?
Yeah, he's an expert there.
I wouldn't claim to be the expert in that.
Right.
It's difficult in Sussex being as flat as they are to determine what the scenic may have to be defined.
Being we're all flat, it's going to be pretty hard to see any scenic views.
Now there's some...
chunk a couple mountains, go out of landfill maybe.
There's some places in Sussex County you could probably call scenic, but... difficult right. With it being so flat.
Right.
But the wooded project, you're really not going to see.
Have we got a Department of Scenic Views that are going to provide expert testimony, or is this, again, just a subjective criteria left up to the council?
I would say it would be subjective.
Okay.
Is it something we should address?
Oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah, it's something just following up. Is it something we should
okay,
address?
Okay, well, let's go down the line, then you can go. Mr. Dukes?
That's a tough one.
Mr. Phillips raised that question. Is that... highly scenic views, what's that do to the buffer? I mean, you know, if you got waterfront property, everybody's buying in there so they can see the waterfront, but if you put vegetated trees there, aren't you blocking that view?
Well, we've had that discussion at one of our public hearings whereby it was determined the wood's already there, and if the buffer was to be left alone, the only thing they could do would basically go in and
yep,
clear
right.
the shrub and scrub wood
scrubs
below yep. it and try to leave it.
Leave the trees.
The trees and the mature trees okay. intact.
Okay.
So you don't take out the whole view. It somewhat distorts it by how wherever you're standing.
Okay.
But there is going to be somebody who protects that. I mean, I don't ever see anybody in our staff going out there and making sure that doesn't happen.
We got some tree huggers probably doing that, Mr. Cole.
No, I'm talking about, Dale, if we're going to, if it's included and we're doing that and the trees and the vegetation help with water purity and all this other stuff for the back. Where is the step in there that actually does protect valuable buffers? Or is it just going to be on paper and sound good?
What we're doing with our code enforcement is
yeah.
cross-training our zoning inspectors, our assessors, and our building code inspectors so they can all look for other areas so that it's not, if I'm a planning and zoning inspector, I'm not going to just be there to look at setbacks or whatever, or zoning issues. I'll be able to look at other issues. So we're trying to cross-training our employees, and now with this downturn in the economy, it seems like a good time to
yeah.
do this, and so that we can catch these, any you know, catch problems up front.
And part of the problem will be solved with the silt fence, as Lawrence talked about. That would be a huge thing because they'll be out of that area that normally gets abused, for lack of a better word, right?
But where is the protection of the abuse?
Even though it's 50 feet.
There's no protection.
There is. The silk fence is put up.
Unless the Planning Zoning Commission says.
But the silk fence is.
You should not clear cut or remove the vegetation.
Did the Soil Conservation check that, Mr. Lang? Of the silk fence?
The Conservation District were now require that they sign off on final site plans. And they've already approved the stormwater, they've already approved the clearing and disturbance that's going to take place on site, which will assist us
in protecting
that. We know
that
the plan is there in front of us is the same plan they're reviewing, and then staff still has that same plan to review.
Okay. Mr. Rodney?
And engineering staff, as far as our, typically the streets in Sussex County are built to county standards, or probably 20% or so are built state standards still, but that 80% minimum is probably private street standards. Those inspectors are also going to be assisting us, and if they see a problem with what the contractor is doing, they're going to know.
Put the red flag up.
So they'll know if they're taking down too many trees in the buffer.
But they're gonna be, they're also gonna, so also view whether or not the project's being.
No, I'm just trying to point out, gentlemen, there's nothing's gonna really change here, I don't believe. It just is on paper. It doesn't, unless we.
That's your opinion, Mr. Poe. I understand.
Well, it's usually been right.
Mr. Rogers' opinion now.
Yeah, my concern has been all along that we've had a number of subdivisions come in here, said they were superior design. We all knew they weren't superior design. So it should be in layman's terms, black and white, that says you do this, A, B, C, and D, whether it's sidewalks, curbs, fencing, trees, streetlights. The one that really came to mind that frosted me was down on 48. It was a, I don't know what the name of it was now, but it was a 1,300-foot lane with only one way in, one way out. They were cutting the trees all down, shoving all the homes in the back. It was going to look like City of Wilmington row homes. There was no amenities in it at all, and they called it superior design. I think it should be black and white so the director and his inspectors can easily determine. You have a grocery list of what is superior design, and it's A, B, C, D, and E, and the state provides some of that now, but I think it ought to be clarified, simplified, and not bureaucratic.
Well, the one thing, just for a quick example, one thing the ordinance doesn't provide for right now is sidewalks.
Right.
And it's been discretionary. Some projects have sidewalks on both sides of the street. Some projects have them on one side of the street, and there's a few that don't have sidewalks. And it typically is trying to figure out, is there a magic number that should have sidewalks of lots?
Right.
If it's a cluster project, it should have sidewalks. But typically, they're 7,500 square footers.
Right.
But I think it should be just tailored so that you can easily look at it. Any consumer, constituent can look at it and says, hey, they're not putting these streetlights in, period. Boom. It's right. Easy. It don't have to be difficult, but it all seems to be that way. Like last week, we had someone in here that said they were doing an ADA-compliant subdivision. Well, with that, I looked it up after we left here. You got to have sidewalks both sides of the street. And they're not putting them but one side of the street, so how are they going to be ADA compliant?
Well, I don't think he said he'd done an ADA subdivision.
I believe that's what the mayor of the town said.
The mayor said that.
Yes, he did. So anyway.
But the mayor wasn't the applicant.
I'm just saying it needs to be black and white, simplified, and so everybody can understand it. And it's not that way. There's too many gray areas.
Yeah. Any other question? Somebody want to introduce it? Or
I'll introduce it.
Okay. Thank you, Lawrence. I appreciate it. Thank you, Dick.
Mm-hmm. And then the last item is the administrator's report, and I came that out. The first item is about the county's prescription drug discount card program. Since the beginning in November 2007, the county's prescription drug discount card program available for the public at no cost. Over $65,000 of savings have been achieved. The number of users has steadily increased from 107 during the month of November to 268 during the month of August. The cards are available through the county's personnel department, and we are glad to provide them to companies, individuals, organizations, etc., that would distribute the cards. Recycle Delaware report, as per the attached letter from Mr. Rich Von Stetten of the Delaware Solid Waste Authority, the Recycle Delaware location at the West Complex in Georgetown on the county property has received over 20,000 pounds of recycling material in September. The program has been successful in recycling materials. Recorder deeds office closure. As per the attached memo, the Recorder Deeds Office will be closed for public business from the end of the workday, October 22nd, until 12 p.m. on Monday, October 27th. The reason for the closure is the upgrading of the recording system. Installation will take place during this week. With a new program will enable title searchers to more efficiently search, and eventually will enable us to provide additional online services from the Recorder Deeds Office. And the attorneys and title searchers have been notified. Next item, South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility EPA Award. Ms. Heather Sheridan is here today. And as per the attached letter from Mr. Donald Welsh, Regional Administrator of the United States EPA, Sussex County's South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility will receive the EPA Region 3 Operations and Maintenance Excellence Award for Medium Advanced Treatment Category. A formal presentation is planned for next month at the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility, and we'll we will let you know about that. We wish to congratulate the engineering department and staff for this outstanding achievement. The facility also received the award in 1999.
Good job, Heather.
And then Sussex County Land Use Plan update. On Friday, October 17th, the Governor's Advisory Council on Planning Coordination voted to recommend to the governor that Sussex County Council's land use plan be certified. The recommendation requests that the county report annually on the status of the implementation of the plan, immediately begin working on adopting the 23 ordinances, which we have been doing, and consider pollution control strategy regarding buffers. So that goes to the governor now.
I got a comment on the land use plan. In Saturday's paper, there was an article about passing the county's land use plan. And I've read this thing a number of times, and the more I read it, the more I think I'm convinced that Secretary Hughes was giving the council a compliment, where he says, State Environmental Secretary John Hughes said the current council majority, which contends that changing the county's base would require compensation to landowners, is a thorn in his side. If I only had Councilman or Administrator Dave Baker to work with on the county council, my job would be a lot easier. But you don't run the county council, they run you, he said, addressing Baker. I take that as a compliment because I think that Mr. Hughes recognizes that we were elected to serve the people and do what we feel is best in the county. I take that as a compliment. I think that he realizes that we're doing our job. And I hope that's what he meant. I hope he wasn't anything derogatory, but I want to thank Mr. Baker because he does a good job in taking direction from the council. But I feel that we are a very strong property rights group here, and we're doing what we feel that we are representing the people in our district and our constituents in the county.
What do you mean, Dale, by property? We're strong property rights. What do you mean by that?
I don't believe that you should come in and take property from a landowner without compensation.
All right. Just okay. Curious.
It's my feeling.
Okay.
Susie, you're up.
Thank you. Today we have Bonnie Wooten.